Acts chapter 14. God is so good. Do you understand that? God is so good. When we open this book, we're not opening a book. We're opening God's communication to you and I. You know, people talk about hearing from God. We have that avenue of hearing from God at any place and any time right here in this book. So as we approach the Word of God today, I want to approach it from that point of view. You're not listening to me, you're listening to God. And I hope you don't hear from me. I hope you hear from God. Would you stand with me? Acts chapter 14, verse 1. We continue our study. It's the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas here. Verse 1 says, "In Iconium they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying in the word of His grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Laconia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And they continued to preach the gospel." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Father, speak to us today. Convict of sin. And draw all men to You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Title of the message today is The Believer's Boldness. Are you bold? Do you feel like you're bold? Do you think you're bold? Or do you think you lack boldness? Do you understand what boldness is? And that's where I first want to start today. You know, boldness quite often deals with opposition. So first thing we're going to cover is being bold as we face opposition. But you have to understand what the word boldness means. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again this morning. Boldness is not when you set out to offend somebody. It's not when you're mean to people, argumentative to people, and you intentionally try to belittle or hurt somebody. That's not boldness. Boldness literally means to have the courage to speak openly. That's what it means. Now, when we use that term in Bible terms, it means to have the courage to speak openly about Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstances or consequences. That's to say, I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I don't care if you want to hear. I don't care if you don't want to hear. I don't care if it costs me. I don't care if it doesn't cost me. I'm going to talk about Jesus. That is boldness. Okay? And that's what we're talking about today. Carries the idea of bravery, having courage. Carries the idea of a soldier going into battle and he's going to carry out his mission regardless of the cost. That was Paul and Barnabas. Wherever they went, they bravely preached the gospel without consideration to their own safety. In Paphos, they preached the gospel and they had one convert. But before they got that convert, the governor, they had to do battle with a demonic magician. In Pisidian Antioch, they preached the word and wonderful response, but it wound up they had to sneak out of town because the city was going to kill them, or people in the city wanted to kill them. It's through thick and thin that Paul and Barnabas tell people about Jesus. And that's basically the idea here. That they are going to preach Jesus Christ no matter what. And Iconium is no exception, which is where we are today. They, as is common, they commonly practice, they start in the local synagogue there. And I love the phrase that says, they spoke in such a manner that a large number believe. Boy, I wish I could preach that every Sunday, don't you? I would like to preach that manner. But they preached And a large number believed. Wonderful. But here's the problem. Anytime you have a great response like this, you know Satan's not going to be far behind, right? He's going to be moving in, and that's what happened here. Okay? As with other cities, the opposition rose up. And verse 2 says, "But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren." Now these Jews, they didn't just disbelieve and reject the message. They didn't just disagree with Paul. They disagreed and they stirred up the people to be bitter against the brethren. That's Paul, Barnabas, and those who had believed. That word embitter, you understand, it carries the idea of being resentful. Listen, I can disagree with somebody without being resentful, can't I? They were going to the extreme. Not only did they disagree with them, they hated them because of what they were preaching. And what we have to understand as believers is that when God is working to save, Satan is working to stop. You look around at this church and boy, I just love what God is doing. He's blessing. The church is growing. We're seeing guests every Sunday. What a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you what, victory better be on its toes. Because Satan's out there. He's looking for a way in. That was the way it was with Paul and Barnabas. Man, they preached the gospel. People responded. God was working. And these nasty Jews rose up to try to ruin them. The question is, how do you respond to that? What do you do about that? I mean, it's pretty common in religion. You know, one religion hates another. But how do you respond? Well, since we understand what boldness is, let's look at an example or boldness demonstrated. Okay? A great example that Paul and Barnabas showed here is in verse 3. Here, and look closely. "Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly, with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of His grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands." How did they respond? What do you do when people don't like you? You ever stop and think about that? When they don't like you and the message that you're preaching? "Therefore, they spent a long time." They stayed. What do you do when people don't like what you're preaching? Keep on preaching. Stay there. Don't move. Don't back down. Don't give in. Keep on doing what you're doing. That's what Paul did. You see, too often we get in this popularity contest. We want people to like us, and when they don't like us, well, let's forget it. We're not going to try anymore. That's not Paul. You see, Paul saw that God was blessing there. And so he said, "I don't care if you like it or not. I'm staying." I love that attitude, don't you? I love that. See, most believers, they don't consider the requirements of true discipleship. They don't consider that man, sometimes it's hard. They don't understand that for victory to be a growing, exciting, soul-winning church, that there are some requirements. And that requirement is boldness. Let me explain myself. There's an old-fashioned word that we don't use much anymore, but people practice it quite commonly. That word is dabble. You ever heard of the word dabble? Okay? Yeah, and what it means to work at something in an irregular or superficial manner. That's the official dictionary definition. If I were to give you a definition and of dabble, I'd say, well, I just dabble a little bit in this and just dabble a little bit in that. You know? You'd know what I meant. And so, as I thought about that word, I thought, man, that describes Christianity. That is such an accurate description of the way most Christians are. They don't want to go all in and be completely committed, so they just dabble. Just a little bit here and there to ease our conscience. Just enough to make us think we're doing something. Let me give you a rundown. If you skip Sunday morning Bible study, but you show up for the hour of preaching on Sunday morning, you're dabbling. No amens? Probably because it hit pretty close to home. If your only service to God is showing up for the preaching service on Sunday morning, you're dabbling. If you quit when it gets hard, you're dabbling. If you do nothing more than sit in a pew and that's your service to the Lord, you're dabbling. If you've written off Sunday night and Wednesday night as opportunities of service and showing up, you're dabbling. If you don't want to be inconvenienced or you don't want to go through the trouble of serving, you're dabbling. If your prayer life is the blessing at mealtime, you're dabbling. If your Bible study only happens on Sunday during preaching or Sunday morning Sunday school, you're dabbling. What's my accusation? I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just stating a fact. Okay? You see, Jesus did not call us to be dabblers. He called us to be disciples. That means we're all in. That means every opportunity of service, we're ready. That means we're ready to share with the world who Jesus is. Paul described us like this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I therefore urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Let me try it again. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means I'm all in. There's nothing too great. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing I will not do for the cause of Christ. Listen, you will not be a bold believer until you decide to stop dabbling a little bit here and there. Now listen, I know I said that and I was talking about church attendance there and we have senior saints that can't drive at night. And listen, you don't have to explain that to me after church. I know there are people who would like to be here and can't. I do, right? But I'm talking about if you just wake up on Sunday and say, I just don't want to go, you're dabbling, you know? Let's be real. If you treated your job with the same dedication that you treat your Jesus, how long would you be employed? You see, you have to understand boldness requires complete commitment. One of the biggest lies in Christianity today is the phrase, I don't think God expects. And I've heard people make this, I don't think God expects me to come to church every Sunday. Really? I don't know where you got that I don't expect line, because I can take you in the Word of God where it says, forsake not the assembly. Amen. Come on now. I'm preaching, you're not batting, okay? I don't think God expects me to embarrass myself at work by telling people about Jesus. Where do you get that? It's not the Bible. Because, you know, the Bible says that we're called to be witnesses. Can you imagine if Jesus said that? If when he was on his way to Calvary and they arrested him in the garden and bound him like a common criminal, if Jesus said, well, I just don't think my Father expects me to be treated like a criminal. And he stopped it all right there. What if when Pilate had him scourged that after the first lick that Jesus said, well, I don't think my Father really wants... would expect me to endure a whipping for mankind. And I certainly don't think my Father would expect me to wear a crown of thorns. Are you kidding me? I don't think my Father would expect me to allow myself to be nailed to a cross. You see how ridiculous that is? So don't try to clear yourself by saying, I don't think God expects me to do the things he says in his word. Because you're lying to yourself as well as others. Now here's the deal. You see, it doesn't just affect you. If you are a parent or a grandparent, your kids, your grandkids are watching you. And if you're a dabbler, guess what? You're teaching them to dabble. Listen, boldness goes all the way. And we are called to boldness. What does it look like? What does real boldness look like? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall, here we go together, be my witnesses. Two words I want to call your attention to there. My and witness. That word my speaks of Jesus. Right? When I say my, Jesus is speaking here. He's saying, you will be my witness. My speaks of Jesus. Witness means to testify what one knows about Jesus. So you put them together. It's saying that you're called to tell people, tell the world what you know about Jesus. It's very simple, right? Listen, we've got to get back to being bold. Get back to talking about Jesus on a daily basis. I mean, do you ever go through a day without mentioning the name Jesus? Think about it. When you go to work tomorrow and somebody at work says, hello, how are you today? What'd you do this weekend? What are you going to tell them? Man, I watched the Razorbacks and they won. Praise God. Good for them. Are you going to tell them, I went to church? We had the best day among believers, the best time of worship. And that preacher preached the best message. I know that's a stretch, okay? But I heard from the Word of God. It was so good. The presence of Jesus was there. And we saw Him move. And we sang praise. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how Jesus blessed your life. You know, we talk about everything. We talk about the weather. We talk about football. We talk about world events. Do you talk about Jesus? Shouldn't you? With everyone we meet. And when I understand, when I say this, man, I'm guilty. How often could I respond in a manner that reflected Jesus as opposed to just responding? You know what I mean? We're here to be witnesses. Listen, if we're going to be bold, we're going to have to be witnesses. Simply tell the world about Jesus. That's your job. That's what we're called to do. That's all Paul and Barnabas did. You realize... I heard a description of what Paul looked like, and I don't know how accurate it was. I think it came from Josephus, it was actually a history in the history of Iconium. They described Paul as being this short, stubby man that when you looked at him, he was not good to look at. But when he started talking about God, you'd think you were looking at an angel. Now that's not Bible. That's just in history, okay? But wouldn't it be great when people start talking to you that you could talk in the manner in which they thought they were looking at an angel? That's one of the things I want people to see in me. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard to be consistent day after day because some days I wake up and I'm not in a really good mood. Does anybody else do that? Hard to reflect Jesus on those days, isn't it? Some days I wake up and I don't feel good. It's hard to reflect Jesus on those days. But boldness tells the world about Jesus no matter what. Listen, you don't have to be some missionary in Africa to be bold. You can do that right here in Russellville, Arkansas. And that's what we're called to be and do. Of course, Paul and Barnabas, their boldness of sharing Jesus caused division. And when we're bold, you have to understand, okay, division's coming. Because there are two distinct sides. As a matter of fact, in verse 4 of our text, it said, but the people of the city were divided. They were divided. And some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. I mean, sides were chosen. And it wasn't just sides chosen. It was, we hate the other side if you were a Jew, right? Now, we don't like Paul. We hate Paul. We would like to erase him and all those followers of Jesus from the face of the earth. That was the... But you know the one constant thing, even in division, was that Paul and Barnabas never budged. They were never bitter. They were never mean. But they never ever change their message to please those people who were not pleased. That, my friends, is boldness. When you're willing to stand for the truth. You see, Paul preached Jesus was the Messiah, period. And if you were Jewish and didn't like that, that was your problem. If you were Gentile and didn't like that, that was your problem. Paul preached Jesus, Acts 4:12, and there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He preached Jesus even when people hated to hear about Jesus. Listen, here's what you have to understand. According to the world today, religion is supposed to bring people together. And I will tell you what, religion will do that. But you have to understand, the gospel will divide people every time. Okay? If you want to get on board with all religions are the same and we're just all trying to get to heaven and we all serve the same God no matter what you call him. If you want to get aboard that hogwash wagon, Lord help you. It's sending a lot of people to hell in the world today. But if you want to preach the truth about Jesus, you're going to share with the world that Jesus is the only way to heaven, period, end of conversation. And when you do that, it's going to cause division. They're going to say, well, that's very judgmental of you to say, I'm not going to heaven just because I don't accept Jesus. And you say, maybe so, but Jesus is still the only way to heaven. They will make accusation after accusation. What makes you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? The answer is, the Bible's right. It's not me. You have to understand division's coming when you take your stand on Jesus. Even Jesus himself said that. I want to share Matthew 10:34-36 with you. You know, we think, oh, it's always supposed to be, togetherness. And Matthew 10:34-36, Jesus himself said, do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. Oh, read this closely. Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father. And a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Do you understand that when you take your stand on Jesus, and you're bold about it, and you're going to do what Jesus called you to do, and you're going to share Jesus, it's going to create division in family, it's going to create division in friends, it's going to cause a problem. But when it causes the problem, are you listening? Everybody listening? College students, high school students, everybody, are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. That's not enough. Say amen if you're listening. There you go. Okay, I want your attention. I got to have your attention here. When trouble arises and division happens, stand your ground. Do not give in to the pressure of the culture to change the message of Jesus Christ. Right? Don't give in. Bold is about standing on the truth. And if it offend, it offends. If it does not offend, it does not offend. But it's still the truth. And we're called to stand on that truth. But you also have to understand the opposition. The malicious opposition. Okay? Opposition is one thing. But look what they did. They didn't just oppose him. They set out to mistreat and stone him. Stone them. Right? I mean, what's the believer's standard? What do we base our ministry and what we do on? Summed up in two verses, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's our standard. That's why when we preach Jesus and people are offended, we still look at them and we say, I love you. That's why we serve and try to present ourselves in a godly manner. Because that's who we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to lash out. We're not supposed to attack. We're just supposed to tell about Jesus. That's our standard. Love God, love people. But what's the standard of the opposition? Acts 14, verses 5 through 7. It says, and when they attempted, and when an attempt was made by the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them. Paul didn't do anything to deserve that. He didn't. He was witnessing and serving by the standard of loving his neighbors. They were serving by satanic standard, which is hate, kill, and destroy. Folks, that satanic standard still exists. It's alive and well in the United States of America. That's why people get so angry when Christianity comes into view. That's why, you see, you can have all the false religion in the world. They don't care. But when you start talking about Jesus, you start making people fighting mad. But here's the thing. If you're going to be bold, you've got to be willing to stick to the standard that we're called to, which is to love people. Love the Lord and love people. Even when they abuse you, yes. Even when they treat you bitterly, yes. You love them back. You do not fight like the opposition. It's not what we're called to be. You see, that's what sets us apart. That's what makes us salt and light. When the world lashes out at us and they attack and they want to destroy, and we're still able to look at them and love them, it moves them. When the world looks at us and they want to shut us up and we refuse to be quiet, but our message is never hate, it's always love in Jesus. That makes a difference. You see, we're called, as Jesus said, to be salt and light. That salt in a bitter, distasteful, sinful world. And that's light in a dark culture. The only way we can be salt and light is to do it God's way, not our own. That's it. So as believers, my challenge to you today, let's be bold. Let's make Jesus a daily part of our conversation wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Okay? You go to Walmart, somebody asks you how you're doing, you tell them how blessed you are. Yeah. When you're at work this week and somebody says, "What'd you do this weekend?" You tell them about going to church. You tell them about Bible study. You tell them how you saw God work. And when God opens the door, you tell them how God saved your soul. I love to hear people, how people were saved. Don't you? I love testimonies. We're supposed to have one. We'll never have a testimony if we never open our mouth. Tell the world about Jesus. Now, you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me share with you, Jesus loves you. You may think you're too big a sinner for all this Jesus stuff. No, you're not. Listen, when you realize the price that Jesus paid for your sin, you understand that that price, His blood, cleanses from all unrighteousness. I love that phrase, don't you? All unrighteousness. That means you're not too big a sinner to be saved. Jesus loves you. And He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He invites you to salvation. Now, if Jesus paid for your sin because you're a sinner, He gave everything He could to give you heaven. And He offers that to you today. Why in the world would you walk out of here lost? Why? Why? Jesus invites you. Will you come? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the commission that you've given us to be witnesses. Lord, help us daily to talk about you. In general life, in general conversations, help us, Lord, to be mindful and to bring you into those conversations so that we can witness. And Lord, when it gets tough, and there are times when it gets tough, Lord, you know that. Give us the boldness and the strength to stand our ground in Jesus Christ. Father, let us serve in your strength. And now as we come to this invitation, Lord, I pray that you would draw them into you. That, Lord, especially those who do not know you for salvation, they will come to you today. That they will call upon you and make you the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name I pray.